love that song. If you love that song this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And what a blessing it is to sing a song such as that. And He is the source of our strength. We'll go into His throne room and pray. Just the words to that song is makes it such a tremendous song. And so we welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. And so good to see everybody. I know we got the home away this morning, and they're ministering at another church. So let's remember them in prayer. And just so good to see each and every one of you. Just want to take a moment and welcome those that are watching on Facebook. We never, ever, ever want to take your presence for granted by you being with us. And so thank you for joining in each and every Sunday and this morning as well. So we got some things to mention this morning. Most of you all, I'm sure, know. I hope you got the column post. But if you did not get a column post, please let me know and we'll add you to it. But Brother T.D. Burgess went home to be with the Lord. And I believe that was early Friday morning. He went home to be with the Lord. And so you can look at our Calvary Facebook page. We have his arrangements there. And but the funeral will be next Friday at his home church, which is Calvary Baptist Church. And just pray for Miss Joy. I spoke with her, texted back and forth with Brother Sammy. And Brother Sammy said, thank you, Brother Justin, for, you know, being there for us. He said, Dad is with Tommy now in heaven, which is, from what I understand, have heard before. Brother T.D., Miss Joy's other son, Sammy's brother. And so I know that they're having a reunion time there in heaven, but there's still going to be that empty seat, that empty chair at the table. So let's continue to remember their family during this time. And please remember Miss Claudia. She says she's watching this morning. She has a room over at Paulding Hospital. She's been in there for a couple days. And I believe this is day number 3. She's just not doing well. Her lungs, her breathing, they've ran all kinds of tests. So Miss Claudia, we love you. We are praying for you, and we know that you'll be home soon and back in church soon. And so, accept our prayers that we are praying for you, and we are here to support you this morning. Let's remember her, if we could. And then Brother Snyder had his surgery on Monday, and he was home. I believe it was by Wednesday he was home, but still recovering. As you can imagine, having back surgery. And so texted back and forth with him last night, and he just covets your prayers, you know. And so just remember him when you pray. And then looking into next month, March, we got a couple surgeries. We have a knee surgery, Miss Mary Ann, and her knee surgery is going to be on the 22nd of March, so remember her. And then Brother Bobby is going to have a procedure. He's going to have a heart cath on the 27th. And so let's remember Brother Bobby McClendon in our prayers when we pray. That's in March. And it was mentioned Wednesday night that Brother Don and Sister Carla made it home safely to Peru. Texted back and forth to Brother Don last night. And I know their trip home was kind of stop and go. And as long as they're stopping at the airport, not in the air, you know what I'm saying? But so anyway, Brother Don said, yeah, they made it home. They made it home. And praise the Lord for that. So we appreciate them. All right. Well, we got a birthday this morning. And that's Brother Randy Maddox. So, Brother Randy, we love you. Happy birthday. Birthday boy in the back. So we appreciate Brother Randy. They stayed. Most definitely. Oh, he's making up. David Smith had his checkup on his cancer, and it has not grown. It stayed the same. And so he still has a lot going on. But I just want to tell Brother Randy from my heart to yours, brother, that I love you. I appreciate you. And I know everybody in this church does. Spencer, Jackson, everybody that has part there in the sound room, audio, video. We thank you. We thank you. And so I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Of course, Jubilee Week, a lot of people don't know, but Brother Randy, and this is me. This is not him saying this. It's me. Brother Randy takes off a whole week. Brother David, I think he does something. Brother Allen, we all, everybody that you see on Sundays during Jubilee, they make their sacrifices to be here all week to make things great for Jubilee. And I'm just saying that because I love these men and women, and I appreciate them. And so I just want to reflect that back to you this morning, that we're blessed here at Calvary. And thank you for coming each and every time the doors open. What a blessing it is. Thank God for our children's home and what they do. I'm pretty sure Brother Brian's preaching this morning, so let's pray for him. And I don't know, just a spirit of gratefulness in my heart this morning for each and every person, every life, everything that's been donated for Jubilee and during the year. It's just going to be a great time. So let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Lord, this is my family, my church family. And us, to them, it's their church family. It feels so right to be here, Lord. It feels so right. God, we're coming up on our fifth year in July as pastor. And I can say, Lord, with all my heart, it feels so good and so right to be here. Lord, I just want to move forward, and I want to get better as a pastor, as a preacher, teacher, friend, just that person that's here that the church sees every week. I want to get better. Lord, there's still a work here to do. And I thank you, Lord, for the shared vision of Brother Allen, who we talked not long ago, and how he shared with the choir what he wants to do. And the vision is even shared in the sound room, and those in the congregation, Lord, want as well to see progression, momentum. And Father, I feel like that's there to be seen. And so, Lord, no slowing down from this church. We just ask that you would enable us to keep going, to give us joy, to give us strength. Father, there's so much territory that's yet to be claimed, biblically speaking, in the world in which we live. And so, Father, we do lift up all of these requests to you this morning. We pray for Miss Claudia that you'll touch her, Lord, with your mighty right hand. Raise her up from her sick bed. Do what the doctors can't do. Open those lungs up, Lord. Allow her to breathe, oh God, and to just rebound in health. Brother Snyder as well, thank you for touching him. I pray for his recovery that you'll continually touch him, oh Lord, as we get closer to Jubilee. I know he wants to be here, but at the same time, Lord, we don't want him to overdo anything. All of these requests, Lord, that we mentioned, those that's getting ready to have surgery, Bobby and Miss Marianne, and Lord, we thank you for Don and Carla, and even Miss Helen Bennett, who's still recovering. Lord, her hernia operation, we lift her up to you and the Bennett family, Lord. We love you this morning. Show yourself mighty. Let us be changed, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Choir, would you stand with me? You may notice that we're singing some songs about love because it's the Sunday before Valentine. And we just want to say that we love you. We praise the Lord for you. That first song probably said it best. As good as it can be said is this: I love the Lord. Well, here's another song. Give us an opportunity to sing about what the Lord's done for us. Page number 265 says, "Love lifted me." mind singing with me now? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. This morning, choir practice this afternoon, choir, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock for choir as we try our best to make ourselves ready for Jubilee, which is right around the corner. I don't know, what are we now, 3 weeks or so? We're getting very close. It'll be here upon us before we know it. But please remember the choir as we work each week to try and learn some new songs for Jubilee. And please, again, remember all the prayer requests. Miss Claudia actually called me this morning on the way into church. And she said, I have a request, and we're going to try our best to fulfill that request in a few moments with a song. So you pray for the choir. We're going to go back and pull one out we haven't done in some time. And Claudia, we pray it will be a blessing to you. She's going through a pretty difficult time there, and she said, I just need to hear someone sing to me, Hold On. So we're going to try our best to do that here in a few moments. I received the message this week about Brother T.D., and we just surely need to lift up Brother Sammy and Miss Joy and the family in prayer. But as Pastor was talking about that this morning, he said that Brother T.D. went home to be with the Lord. It almost made me want to pull out one of those cards that said, Amen! That's what T.D. would have done. And then we could have said that he is now in the presence of the Lord, and he would no doubt have pulled out another card that said, Praise the Lord. Amen. What a patriarch of the faith. Man, I thought about all of the messages that we have heard that man preach. All of the services that we've been able to be with him. I remember when the choir would go up, we'd sing at that great Jubilee up in Pigeon Forge, and he'd step out onto the stage. And he could get more said in such a short period of time of any man I have ever heard. And he just had a way of talking about the Lord and expounding on the gospel. Man, what a patriarch of the faith. And I thought about what a blessing he has been to the family of God, to the church, and then to us. Maybe he didn't go home with everybody, but it seemed like, Brother Don, that when we left here and Brother T.D. had been in the house, it's almost like we all took him home with us, wasn't it? And we've had the opportunity to sit around the table many times and share in a meal with him. He was just such a blessing to our family. I know he was to yours. So please, let's pray for his family this week. God knows exactly what they stand in need of. But truly a patriarch of the faith has gone home to be with the Lord. And for that, again, I say amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. On our time of worship as we sing in a few moments, and as well as the offering this morning. CJ, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Lord God, we do love you. We dedicate this service to you. We thank you for the life of TV, Lord. I thank you for the fact that I got to watch him stand and say, for giving the life of 20 years instead of 60 or 80 years. He's been serving you. He didn't regret one second.
rising fears, tormenting doubts, prayer after prayer, still there's no way out, and it seems like pain is all you
raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, and they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, waters stood still. Even the winds obeyed his will, and he calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. light in their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. He'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when this very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Because this very same Jesus stays always near, and he lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. So I'll call on his name till the storm passes by.
That Brother David, what a beautiful arrangement that is. Just the melody itself is satisfying to the soul, but throwing the words on top of that just makes it just a wonderful, wonderful song. So thank you, brother. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Be here for a few moments this morning, and right here up front, I want to dedicate this message to the Burgess family. To the Burgess family. And, of course, the message is for all of us, but sometimes it's easy to develop messages, and sometimes I'm telling you, it's trying to push a rock the size of Stone Mountain. It's just not happening. And I just could not get Brother Burgess off my heart, my mind, and his family. And yet, there's stuff in this message that is for all of us. And so my prayer is, the intent of the message this morning is to just motivate us to look at some things in our life and make sure that we're doing all we can while we can, so that when we can't, there'll be no regrets. That's what I want to preach on this morning, is no regrets. No regrets. Notice, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. I want to say this morning, first of all, that in these verses we see that Paul spoke with certainty. He spoke with certainty. Notice verse number 6. For I am now ready. I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He spoke with certainty in verse number 6. And then in verse number 7, he spoke with certainty. He said, I have three different times. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then we'll throw in verse number 8. He spoke with certainty here. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. He spoke with certainty in verse 8. He spoke with certainty in verse 7. He spoke with certainty in verse number 6. Paul said, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Now, Paul at this particular point is looking back at other chapters in his life. And he said two things. He said, I've done all that God has called me to do. And then he said, I've done all that I could do. And this morning, the challenge is laid out before us all. Will we be able to say, I have done all that God has called me to do, but then I have done all that I could do? And so that's the part of the question this morning. And again, the message is entitled, No Regrets. The late Stinnett Ballou said, I quoted a moment ago, he said, do all you can while you can, so when you can't, there will be no regrets. I think about Brother T.D. Burgess, and my mind and my memory goes back to our Floyd Road days early in my salvation. I remember Brother T.D. got up and preached on the rainbow. And I mean, he preached the house down on the rainbow. And I remember he would disappear, Brother Allen, when it was quiet as a pin could drop. He'll disappear. He'll come back with a sign and say, say amen right there. Amen. He said, you're supposed to say amen right there. You don't forget those things. And all of the miles that he put on his car, him and Miss Joy, up and down the roads, founder of Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee, and from what I hear, was founder of our Jubilee. And so he has fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. In his last days, laying up in his bed at home, Miss Joy left me a message not long ago. She said, Brother Justin, he's weak. He's weak. It's not going to be long. And then I get a message the other morning and said that that Brother T.D. has gone on to be with the Lord. I guarantee you he did all he could while he could, because he knew that there'll come a point in time when he couldn't. He didn't want to have any regrets. Didn't want to have any regrets. You might ask this morning, Brother Justin, do you have any regrets in life? I have regrets. I have regrets. And you say, well, you ask, how do you deal with your regrets? Well, first of all, as Philippians 3:13 says, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the mark for the prize, as the scripture says there. There's just some things you have to forget about in order to move on. Yes, I have regrets, but the first thing I do, I forget about the things that I've failed at. And then second to that, if I learn from my mistakes and apply myself now, how God wants me to apply myself, and if I use my past experiences as building blocks and move forward in faith and obedience, and I get to the end of my life experience whenever or however that might be, there also will be no regrets in my life. But if I flounder away my days, there will be regrets in my life. I like what Psalm 90 and verse number 12 says. Listen to this. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help me today do all I can while I can, because I don't know what tomorrow may bring. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter number 29 thereabouts, but nonetheless it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. In James, the book of James, it says, what is our life? It is of a vapor. It appeareth for a little season, then vanisheth away. Let us apply our hearts. Teach us, Lord, to number our days and do all we can while we can. So then when we can't, there'll be no regrets. This morning, I want to mention some things concerning Paul. This man, this great apostle named Paul, and what he did in his life. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you as I share it. Number one, Paul had no regrets because Paul fought. He fought. Look in verse number 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. Now, notice the word fought there. It means to struggle. It means labor fervently. It means to strive to enter a contest. It means to contend with adversaries. It means to struggle with difficulty or danger. And so Paul literally is saying that I have struggled my way through life. I didn't give up. I struggled my way through life. I labored fervently. He said, I strove like I was in a contest. I didn't throw in the towel and I didn't give up because I didn't want any regrets. He said, I fought a good fight. This morning, are you in the fight or have you given up on the fight? Are you a struggler this morning? And I want to say something about a struggler. Being a struggler is a good thing. Because if you're struggling, that means you're trying. And for the person who has given up on life and given up going after the things of God and trying to reach new heights in their life and accomplish much, the people that is not doing that are those who have given up. You may be here this morning and say, Brother Justin, I haven't achieved all that I want to achieve. Keep struggling. Keep fighting. Brother Justin, my marriage is not where it should be. Keep struggling and keep fighting. My own personal relationship with Jesus is not as close as I want it to be. I see others who look like their joy is always full. I want to be like that. Keep struggling and keep fighting this morning. Keep going hard, because when it gets down to the end of days for you, whenever or however that might happen, you too can say there's no regrets because I tried. Because I tried. So we see that Paul fought. And Paul, he fought against his flesh. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, he says, I buffet myself. It means to blacken the eye. I'm not going to punch myself in the face this morning. Okay, so y'all could just forget it. But it means to blacken the eye. He says, when I wake up in the morning and I look in that mirror, there's an opponent in front of me. And it's almost like this person is talking back to me and saying, do what you want to do today. Make yourself feel happy at any cost. And then I stand here and I say, of course, this is Paul speaking in the mirror. No, I can't just do anything I want to do today to make myself happy and feel good. I have a race to run. I have a life to live. I have a God to walk with. I can't just do anything. And the same is true for us this morning. When we wake up and we look at ourselves in the morning, we can't just sit on the bench that day spiritually. We can't just say, well, I'm going to choose not to keep my flesh under subjection. Because if you ever lower your guard just for a moment, I guarantee you, Satan himself will have something for you. Some kind of bait, some kind of trickery, some kind of trick there for you to take during your unguarded moment. We got to keep fighting this morning, church. We got to keep buffeting ourselves. We got to bring our body in subjection. And that might mean cutting some things out of our life. What is it in your life you keep stumbling over? I think it's time for it to go. The Bible says, and Paul speaks of it, he says, make no provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill it thereof. In another place, I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says that we ought to know how to manage our vessels unto honor and unto glory. This morning, if we are stumbling and if we are struggling, part of that might be because there's some easy access points to the flesh. Let me ask you something and then we'll move on. Whatever it is you're struggling with, is it bringing you closer to God or away from God? I mean, you can struggle in prayer, but that brings us closer to God. You can struggle reading the Bible, but that brings us closer to God. But we can, I used this illustration last Sunday night. It's the most easiest thing to use, and I got this remote in my hand. We can struggle with this right here. Just got Brother Trail right there. I'll point right at him. He'd put his hands up. Just got out of church. Let's see what's on them high channels. Ooh, that's appealing to my flesh. It really helps me unwind. Listen, and I'm not always talking about the erotic or the sexual. Listen, there's things in the realm of horror with demons and principalities and spirits that aren't good for us to watch. All across the board. And I'm just using TV because most everybody has one. But things along those lines. And listen, none of us are perfect, but if it is enhancing our walk with God, if we're struggling over it because of the content of it, it needs to go. It may be something on TV. It may be a friendship with someone. It may be a place you visit often. It may be food. Y'all think I wouldn't want to preach to me, did you? Listen, Paul says, make no provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill it thereof. So if I'm trying to watch my A1C, the right thing to do would not go by Publix on the way home and get one of those wonderful cakes from the bakery and put it right on my countertop and say, I'm not supposed to have you, and walk away. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come some point today that I'm going to be weak. And all Sunday morning's done, Sunday night's done. Oh, I feel good. I fulfilled my calling today. God blessed. And man, look at that cake. Christy and Lily, they're all getting ready for work and school. Like I can hide a big old chunk being missing, you know. I go out there, I get to, my dog Cooper's standing there looking at me on the couch. I cut me a big old wedge. And I eat that, and I get on the couch. And Christy walks in. Justin Hales, what happened here? With cake all over my face. I don't know. And, you know, I'm being lighthearted this morning, but there's a trace of truth in that. And that might be my struggle. It's definitely not helping me. And God knows I'm trying. And you've watched me. We've been here going on 5 years as pastor. I've lost and gained the same 30 pounds several times. It's trying to push through and stay on that path of wellness. It might be food. It might be fun. It might be something on TV. All across the spectrum, Paul said, even in his day, I have to fight. I have to stand up against my flesh and say, no, sir, this will not benefit you. I talk to myself sometimes. And Lily knows this. Christy knows it. It might be part of having OCD a little bit, but the other part is it helps me to talk things out. And the older I get, the more I talk out loud. I just don't like to be seen in public doing it because it's kind of weird. Standing there looking at something at Walmart. Well, what do you want to get, Justin? I don't know. What do you want to get? That's kind of crazy. At least I could, yeah, put a Bluetooth in my ear. Justin, what do you want to eat after this? I don't know. What do you want to eat after this? I might need to get checked out. It's nothing like that. It's more like I wake up and I get going and take Lily to school and I got my day laid out in front of me, what I need to do, what I want to do. And I just kind of, I start thinking and my spiritual needle is pointed this way, which means, you know, just go about your day, do what's right. But then it starts going this way sometimes because I'm like, well, that can wait. I can do this for now. I'm not talking about necessarily bad, horrible stuff. And so I say, no. Got to keep that needle straight. No, Justin, that's just... And sometimes the warfare gets so heavy, I do blurt out. I say, not today, Satan, not today. And sometimes I say, get behind me, devil. Sometimes you have to have these conversations with yourself. And Paul here, he says, this flesh of mine, I fight against it. Paul, he fought his flesh. Paul, he fought the devil. And he fought the world. All of these things he fought. He fought to preach. He fought his flesh, the devil. He fought the world, his foes. But at the very end, he said, I have fought a good fight. Up until this point in your spiritual journey, can you say you have fought a good fight? If you're like me, I can say that I truly can say I fought a good fight, but I want to fight a little more harder. I want to try a little more harder. And so Paul fought this morning. And because he fought, there were no regrets. Paul's life, listen to this, Paul's life was easier when he was lost. Think about this. When Paul was lost, his life was easier. He would walk around and persecute the church. I mean, didn't care about anything. When he got saved, his life became difficult. Jesus told Nicodemus in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, I'm going to show him the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Paul had a lot of monumental regrets in his past for persecuting the church. But one day on that road to Damascus, he heard something and he seen something. And he was knocked down and he had this salvation experience with the Lord. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And we know, fast forwarding a little bit, God called him to be a preacher. So those he persecuted, he regretted he persecuted over here. He would go back over here and preach to them. And so Paul lived this life of fighting because he in the times past he made some bad choices and decisions. He was persecutor. But now that he's saved, he is preacher. And so those past regrets, he forgets about them. But still as a preacher, presently he tries to win them. We see a man this morning with no regrets. He says, I have fought a good fight. He said, oh yeah, I have some regrets. I persecuted the church, but God called me to be a gospel carrier, an apostle, and now I'm preaching. His life was easier, in my opinion, being lost, but then he got saved. There was suffering, there was troubles and trials, but yet Paul was advancing forward and preaching to those he persecuted. This morning we see, when it comes to no regrets, that Paul fought. Are you giving it your all this morning? Number two, not only Paul fought, but Paul faithed. He faithed. Look in verse number 7. I want to skip over that middle part. Because to me, not questioning the Word of God or the King James Bible, but to me, I read, I have fought a good fight. But then I skip down, I have kept the faith. And then I back up to, I have finished my course. And so Paul, he fought, but Paul faithed. He didn't stop believing. And I want to tell you this morning, don't stop believing. I would tell you what song is in my head right now. Eagles, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Paul, he kept the faith. That word, notice the word kept here. I have kept the faith. The word kept means to attend carefully, to guard from loss or injury. Did you know, if you're in a valley this morning, if you're in a trying time, and your experience is contradicting to the Bible, in other words, what I mean, God says he's going to be with us. God said, the Lord said he's going to carry us. He's going to, through the fire, through the flood, he's going to be like a shepherd unto us. He has nothing but good for us. And you're facing cancer? If you're not careful, the devil can get on your shoulder and say God is contradicting himself to you from his word. Somebody said one time, what about Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good, not of evil. To give, and he goes down through there, says, and to give you an expected end. What about if you lost a loved one prematurely? What if you have cancer or something like that? How do you interpret that verse? If we're not careful, things can seem as though God is contradicting himself. And Paul says, I have had experiences like that. I've had to guard my faith. I know that the Lord is for me. He's not against me. And anything that comes in my life is first filtered through his hands. He has a purpose for the pain, and he has a plan for it. And so Paul says, I had to guard my faith. And he said this, from the day I got saved until this very moment before I lose my head on Nero's chop block. He says, I've kept the faith. I wish I could say that the moment you get saved, and the moment I got saved, it was such a glorious experience for me. It felt so good. It really did. It felt great. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the word, but I felt something. And I wish that that feeling never went up and down. It just always was. I wish it was just, you know, that salvation, what great jubilation. I wish it was that way forever. But the truth be known is I have to grow. And there are times where the Lord withdraws himself, not losing your salvation. There are times where he allows you to get in a situation and he withdraws himself to see how you're going to react, to show you how you will react in any given situation. If you don't believe me, what about Abraham and Isaac? When he was asked to lay down his son. Well, it was through that son that the Lord Jesus was, the Messiah was promised to come through. God contradicting himself? I don't feel his power. Lord, have you turned your back on me? And so eventually he got there and he laid him down in the dagger, and then there was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And so there's times, listen, our faith has to be tried. Faith that is not tried is just talk. And talk is cheap, and we can talk all day. But this morning, Paul said, he says, I have kept the faith. He says, I attended carefully to my faith. I guarded it. He said, I stayed in the Word. I stayed in prayer. I stayed preaching. I stayed with the people of God. We worshiped together. We broke bread together. I did that because it protects me. And it's always sad to see a church member leave church and not attend church anywhere. Not even on Facebook. It's scary to see them in that way, because it's almost like they've given up in their faith. All right, so we see Paul faith here. Now, let me just say this. He attended carefully to his faith. He guarded his faith from loss or injury. He kept believing, but there were some times where he wanted to abort his mission and go home to heaven. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Notice very carefully. Just hang in there with me. Get a little bit longer and we're done. Paul, faith. He kept the faith, but there was a moment where he wanted to abort this life and go. Philippians chapter 1. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but I will ask you to be honest with yourself. Has anybody ever, don't raise your hand, don't nod your head, has anybody here ever said, you know what, I just want to go home to heaven. Lord, just call me. And if you said, oh, no, I will never think about going, dying prematurely and God taking me, I would never think about things like that. Paul did. Elijah did. Paul says, you know, this thing called salvation and preaching the gospel and being a missionary, I'm not liked by the world. He says, I just want to go home to heaven. But he says within himself, I would have some regrets if I left early. Look what he says, verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He says, if I'm so selfish to ask God to take me home, and if he did, I would have regrets. Because you would be here with empty faith and empty joy. God put me here to be a blessing to you. I don't want to have any regrets. Who is it this morning that's in your life that God has placed them there? God wants you to continue to be a blessing. God wants you to continue to speak life into. God wants you, but you have this time of struggle, and you're thinking within yourself, I just want God to take me. Can I challenge you this morning? Can I challenge you to reconsider your attitude and ask God to just renew your joy and to anoint you afresh and anew with His Holy Spirit so that you can do His work and you can minister to that person that's in your life? Paul says that I would have some regrets if I went home early. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. There was another occasion where he had so much trouble. He despaired of life. The word despaired means to renounce all hope. So here we have the apostle renouncing all hope after he preached all hope. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia or Ephesus, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. We didn't have the strength to get out of this, insomuch that we despaired even of life. The word despaired there means to renounce all hope. He said, that's it. We're going down. We're going to die. This is a bad situation. And when Paul is saying that, he knows in his mind that God can, but what has him saying that is, will God? He knows that God can deliver him in his trouble in Asia, but the question is, will God deliver him in his trouble in Asia? That what has him despairing of life. And the same for us. We get in situations that look grave and the gravity of them looks terrible. And we know that God can, but the question is, will God? Will he deliver us? And so we wrestle. Paul says that I've despaired of life. I feel hopeless here. But God intervened. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Paul says that we pronounced our own death sentence. We're the ones who gave up hope for the moment during our tough time. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Verse 9 says that we gave ourselves the death sentence. We're not going to make it out of this dilemma. But it only led him to a new reality. And that was, Paul, you should not trust in yourself, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul came to a reality in his storm here in Asia that he wasn't against all hope. He was actually positioned to believe God for a great thing, and that is his deliverance from Ephesus that was so bad. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. This storm taught me not to trust in myself. You know what your storm is teaching you this morning? Not to trust in yourself. The times you go to the doctor and you get the ill report, or you're sideways with a neighbor, you're at odds with a family member, you're trying to work it out and it's not getting anywhere. I give up. That current situation is to get you to a place where you won't trust in yourself. God, if it's going to be fixed, it's going to have to be you to fix it. You're going to have to intervene. You're going to have to take care of this, because in my own estimation, we're going down. Listen, I'm not just up here this morning yelling at you. But there's something in here that God wants you to know. That during those times when our faith is being stretched, God can be trusted. And whatever the outcome is up to him. And he will use it somehow, some way, for his glory. If we do not hold to that truth, what truth will you hold to? Let me mention one more and we'll be through. No regrets. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, I kept the faith. But then he said, he finished. Paul finished his course. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The word finished means to bring to a close or to complete. It means to discharge or expire. I remember working at the funeral home, and one of my first few death calls I went on, the coroner was there. The coroner had to come and pronounce the death and the time. He said, well, this individual has expired at 12 a.m. It means their race was over. They passed. Their life was brought to a close, a conclusion. You get the point. That's the word finished. The word course means course, career, the course of life, your course, your path. Paul said, God closed my path. He concluded, he completed my path. I'm discharged. I'm getting ready to expire. When Paul was called to preach the gospel in the office of an apostle, he heard from the Lord personally. He's seen the Lord personally. One of the requirements of being a Bible apostle in the New Testament. He heard him, he's seen him, and he was compelled to follow him all the days of his life. So, after hearing him, seeing him, being compelled to follow him, Paul with certainty said, I have finished my course. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Don't turn there. I'm just going to give it to you in conclusion. In Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 24, Paul said this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he said he wanted to finish his course with joy here. And back in Timothy he says, I have finished my course. Paul had no regrets. Sure, there were some things that he did. But because he chose to forget those things which are behind and press forward to the mark of the prize, press toward Jesus. Because of that, there were no regrets. If you're here this morning, you're thinking about giving up and just not coming to church anymore. I mean, you're here this morning. Those watching on Facebook, if you're thinking about giving up and not watching anymore, if you're thinking about writing God off and saying, oh, he's not worthy to be followed because of what's going on in my life now, I urge you to give him another try. Give him another try. Look at things from heaven's point of view. Look at things from the biblical point of view. God's up to something. He does not get any pleasure in his children suffering. There is a purpose this morning to his plan. No regrets. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you do, God. Nobody wants giants in their life. Nobody wants fires and nobody wants valleys. Oh, we hear it so much, we're sick of it. But God, it takes equality. It takes valleys, it takes mountains, it takes the winds, the waters, the rains, the terrible storm we had last night, and the damage that's today somewhere, Lord, in your economy with nature. That was needed. It was needed. People who have been through storms physically, even the one over Christmas time with how cold it got and the winds, their pipes busted. But now they've got things in place to prevent that from happening again. God, we know you have a purpose in our situation this morning. Help us continue on with no regrets. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. This is invitation time. Please come on the first verse if you need to come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him.
Anyone else this morning? Is open if you need to come.
His presence daily live. I surrender.
No regrets.
All.
God is the God of second chances. Else this morning?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender humbly at His.
Come while it's fresh on your mind. Come while it's fresh on your heart.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take.
Softly for just a moment. And, appreciate everybody coming this morning, and I hope you received a blessing. Remember, 4 o'clock choir practice today. Also, just want to bring a quick update on Jubilee. Brother Craig Edwards was not able to keep his appointment. He had to cancel. He's actually having a surgery on that day, and so we were just trying to be mindful of who to call on in such a short time. And so we got Brother Kenny Cockendall taking his spot out of Loganville, Georgia. You've heard Brother Kenny, most of everybody here has heard Brother Kenny. I believe he wrote that song we sang, Eye of the Storm. And he's going to be a blessing, so remember that. Again, 3 choirs, 2 groups, and 6 preachers. So, and not to mention for Calvary family, we got a pretty good menu that's coming about. Our food, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Calvary family only for that, though. So I'll remember that. All right. I'll just go ahead and give it to you. I want to share it with you. It's a blessing. One of those nights, we're going to have Johnny's Barbecue catering. How about that? Huh? Hey, the preaching is over. We can talk about food now. So that's going to be great. Got a really good price at it. Okay. We'll be dismissed, and hope everybody has a great afternoon. Anything to mention before we close? All right. Yeah, bring those cards filled out for the preacher that will be coming. Also, if someone has it on their heart while y'all are making those cards out, let's go ahead and send Brother Craig one. Although he's not coming, he's still... he's still going to have surgery. So we want him to know that he's going to be missed. All right. Okay. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And everyone have a great afternoon. And just be safe out there when you're traveling up and down the roads. All right. Brother C. Long, would you close us out?